You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This character of Lot is an interesting character. We know he was the nephew of Abraham, grandson of Terah, and his father died at a young age, and Abraham kind of took him under his wing. And you read further down in Genesis chapter 13, where the Bible says that Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen, they had much cattle, and all of a sudden their laborers started striving together, and they started not being able to get along. And old Uncle Abraham, that wise man, he came and said, "Hey, look, Lot, it's not good for us to be together if our herdmen are going to be striving. Listen, there's plenty of land for both of us. You pick the land that you want to go to, and whichever one you pick, I'll go the other way." By the way, it would have been a great time to defer to the elder right there. Say, "No, no, Uncle Abraham. You've given me everything I have. You pick whatever you want, and I'll take the tougher land. I'm young. I can till up rough ground. I can do the work. I can bear the yoke in my youth." But he didn't do that. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 13 that he lifted up his eyes and he looked unto Sodom, and he saw that the plains were well watered. And he looked, and in his heart, he said, "That's a good place for raising cattle." But we're going to find out it wasn't a very good place for raising children. I've been to places, literally, that were like Sodom. There's a place in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Carrie and I love to go to Cape Cod, Massachusetts. One of our favorite vacation places. Just a peaceful place. If you look at Massachusetts, it's got this little hook on it. And that's called Cape Cod. Beautiful place. But at the very end, there's a town called Provincetown. And I want to tell you something. That has got to be, I have never felt more satanic oppression in all my life. The last time we were there, the last time that we're ever going there. Carrie and I were walking down the street holding hands, a husband and a wife, and Brother Lolly, we were the minority. A man and a woman holding hands walking down the street, we were the minority. There was women with women holding hands, men with men holding hands, and doing all kinds of other things we couldn't say in the Church of God tonight. Listen, it may have been a good place for raising cattle, but Sodom wasn't a good place for raising children. All that we consider, so many people, they move away from church and they say, "I've just got to move for work." And listen, I don't begrudge a man for moving for work, but make sure there's a good church where you're going. It may not be God's will. Satan may be just throwing a carrot in front of you. He's done that so many times. And here he put that carrot in front of Lot, and old Lot bit it. And he moved his family to Sodom. We find out in Genesis chapter 19 and verse number 1 that the Bible says that he sat at the gate of the city, and it was a position of authority, much like we would think of a mayor today. And two angels came to him and they said, "Look, God has heard the cry of Sodom and he is going to destroy this city. You need to get what you have and get out." But Lot, you see, he had lost some things. And he was going to lose a lot more. You know, the first thing I notice here that Lot lost was Lot lost his doctrine. Look at Genesis 19, verse 7. An unbelievable statement from a Christian to the Sodomites. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, please, I'm not being harsh. I don't think you ought to be harsh and mean to people that are homosexuals. But the Bible term is sodomite. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible calls them. That's what they are. Sodomite. And he says here, Lot says to the Sodomites, he said, and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." You see, he had lost his doctrine. He had lost, if we could say, his convictions. Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's a few reasons why he'd lost his doctrine. He affiliated with the Sodomites, verse 7 tells us. Verse 8, he tried to appease the Sodomites. And in verse number 9, he angered the Sodomites, which is what a real Christian will do. Listen, they don't hate you, they hate the Christ that you stand for. Jesus told his disciples that. He said, "Hey, listen, if they've hated me, they'll hate you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If you come and they won't receive you, leave out and shake the dust off your feet." That's what we need to do. But here he lost his doctrine. And ladies and gentlemen, when you start affiliating with the world, and when you start trying to appease the world, you know what you're going to lose? You're going to lose your convictions. You're going to say, ah, it's not really a big deal if we go to the movie house. After all, there's lots of other people that do it. Ah, it's not really a big deal if we have a glass of wine at Christmas. After all, we're not doing it to get drunk or anything like that. You listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. He lost his doctrine, first of all, because he lived by sight, didn't he? That way, you go way back and trace that whole car wreck of his life back. It was all to the time he lived by sight. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's some things that we believe that just aren't for sale. Amen? It was like the story I heard about a man, and he was driving down the road, and he saw this beautiful, I believe it was a 55 Chevy. And it was just cherry red, beautiful, and he pulled over, and he was so enamored by it. It was beautiful, it was shined up, it was waxed and everything, and he pulled over and he looked at it, and there was a sign, and it said, "Not for sale, don't even ask." Hey, ladies and gentlemen, not for sale, don't even ask. But you know what happens is you start petting sin, and you'd be amazed at what's for sale. You'd be amazed that just like Lot, you could lose your doctrine. The second thing he lost, he not only lost his doctrine, but in verse number 8, we find he lost his decency. He lost his decency. "Behold now," he's saying to the Sodomites here, "I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them is as good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." Lot only lost his doctrine, but he lost his decency. Oh, I know I've read commentators that said it was the Eastern law of hospitality. If someone came into your house, you had to protect them with your very life. And I understand all that. I was also a youth pastor for almost 10 years. And Brother Boston, I saw how hard it was for parents to raise pure children. Can I get an amen? I saw how difficult that was, and particularly, by the way, don't be too hard on your teenagers. I know, listen, we've got to have rules, and I'm for all that, but almost every teenager has a rough year. But they're just not sure of themselves, and they kind of backslide a little bit. I'm not excusing, I'm just saying, there's teen years. But I know this, it's hard to raise a teenager to meet up at the altar and be pure. I'm going to tell you this, there's no double standard for me. By the way, pure boys too. Amen? Pure boys. But I'm going to tell you this, for years we'd asked God for girls, and God obviously knew that I was just not going to be able to handle it, so He gave me boys, amen? And we asked for girls, and I thought, my goodness, I know so many beautiful little girls and teen girls, and I thought, man, I'm telling you what, you'd have to fight me tooth and nail to hell, Brother Phelps, before I'd ever give two virgin daughters to the Sodomites. I'm telling you what, it'd be I don't know how many bullets I have, Brother Ken, but every one of them would be fired, I can tell you that right now, before I'd give up two. But here, what happened? See, he pet sin, he thought it was okay to just live by sight, and he ended up losing his decency. He lost his decency. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll be amazed what you're capable of when you go away from God. You'll be amazed what you're capable of. Oh, I'd never do that! Really? I can tell you somebody who did. I can tell you somebody who said, "I'll never do that." And I can tell you example after example after example of people that I've known in life that said, "I'll never do that." And then did it. You see, he lost his doctrine. And when you lose your doctrine, Brother Meyer, it's easy to lose your decency, isn't it? And then number 3, I want you to notice, he lost his difference-making ability in verse 14. It says, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad when you come to church, by the way, I'm glad we dress right. All right, listen, I'm glad we look sharp when we come to church. We should. God, listen, this sloppy Christianity does nothing for me. It's different. If you're coming off work, don't you worry. You come as you are. No problem. We're not mad at you or anything like that. But listen, when we come to God's house, we ought to dress our best. We ought to look our best. Amen. You say, well, I don't have much. Well, it can be ironed. It can be washed. Amen. It can be pressed. All that. Sure, I'm glad for all that. But what you are at home is what you are. And this is proof positive right here. Oh, I'm not saying we can't relax at home and good night, my boys and I have a good time at home. And there's a reason why Eric said pray for baseball and basketball, because he's always on the DVD player. Baseball, let's watch baseball, let's watch baseball, let's watch baseball. And as a father, I'm like, okay, twist my arm. Okay, good. Yeah, let's watch baseball. Amen. But when you think about that, what we are at home is what we are. And that's what happened to Lot here. Lot went to his sons-in-law and says, hey, I've just been informed that God is about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and you need to get my daughters and get my grandbabies and get out of here. And they said, you know God? Yeah, right. Listen, we married your daughters, Buster. We know what really went on in the old Lot home. We know what was permitted and what was allowed and all that. And hey, you know, get out of here, Lot. Just get out of here. I'm not listening to you. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, it's a sad thing when you lose your testimony. It's hard to get it back. I had a good friend of mine in Bible college, and he was a supervisor. The jobs that we had at Midwestern, oh my goodness, they were gravy jobs from heaven, amen. I worked at a company called VSI, Visual Services Incorporated, and we answered incoming phone calls for an insurance company called Pacific Air. Thank you for calling Pacific Air. This is Rich. How may I help you? I still got it down, amen. And, well, all we had to do was know the material. And when they would run a television spot, and the ad would come up, we would get lots of phone calls. And then the rest of the time, Mr. Holy, you know what we did? We studied our Bible. The boss said, that's fine, as long as when the calls come in, you're answering the phone call. We do our homework, study our Bible, fellowship with the Lord. There's a bunch of us guys that... Well, this fellow, he worked at the competitor of our company. And he was in a supervisory role. And I remember somebody had done something that offended him, and he blew off the handle, Brother Pudell. I mean, he just... blew up at that guy. And I remember he came with his hands weeping and said, I've lost my testimony with him. What do I do? Now, praise God, you can work at getting a testimony back. Amen. When we do lose it. But Lot here, he lost his difference-making ability because he lost his testimony with the people around him. By the way, guard your testimony. It's precious. It speaks loud of you. If you're on the job, listen, don't cheat time. Because people watch you. Don't take pens home. What are we, for thievery around here or what? I mean, say amen. Don't take pens home. Everybody's like, oh my goodness, I got to return all this stuff. Do it, amen. Stealing. How important it is that we have our testimony. And Lot, because he lost his doctrine, he lost his decency, he lost his difference-making ability. He lost his urgency in there and in his ability to make a difference. Ladies and gentlemen, God help us to have an urgency that people go to heaven or hell. And people die every second. Six people die every second. Every second, six people die. Oh God, that we'd have urgency. But he lost his doctrine. He lost his decency. He lost his difference-making ability. Number four, he lost his discernment. Look at verse 16. Remember, they told him, get out. Or look at verse 15. And when the morning was arose, the angels hastened Lot. They said, hey buddy, let's move it. Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here. Now there was at least two other daughters, because the Bible says that he had sons-in-law. Maybe two, at least two, maybe three, that didn't come along. Okay? Lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? He lost his discernment. Well, it says right here, and while he lingered. There's a whole sermon in that. And while he lingered. He lost his discerning. Listen, God said He was going to destroy that city. Did God mean that, church? He said He was going to do it, and Lot said, well, he lost his ability. He lost his difference-making ability. He lost his decency. He lost his doctrine. Here, he lost his discernment. Listen, you play with sin, you know what you're going to do? You're going to lose your spiritual discernment. Well, I know it's R-rated, but we could watch it. You're losing your discernment. You're losing your discernment. Well, I know that you know, this music that my child has in their iPod, it's not that bad. You're losing your discernment. You're losing your discernment. Well, we're not quite, you know, I know Pastor talks about living right and living separate and doing that, but we're not as bad as the world. You're losing your discernment. When we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise, Corinthians says. Hey, let's not, by the way, when we compare ourselves, we always look at the worst type of people. Well, I'm not as bad as the serial killer. I've said that for years. My wife, when I won't hang up, I leave my socks or won't hang up my coat or anything, she'll come over and say, could you hang these up, please? I said, well, I'm not a serial killer. You know, it's just an inside joke in our house. I say that, amen. And we say it in jest, and yes, I go and grab it and hang it up. But don't we always say that? Well, I'm not as bad as Charles Manson. Well, gee, great standard, amen. Let's have a bit of a higher standard. How about this? I don't measure up to God, but I'm trying. You won't find yourself putting yourself in questionable situations if you're trying to measure up to what God has for a standard of righteousness. You'll find yourself moving away from worldly things and snuggling up close to God, amen. That's where we ought to be. He lost his doctrine. He lost his decency. He lost his difference-making ability. He lost his discernment. Number 26, or verse 26, not point number 26, amen. That'd be a long message. He lost his dear wife, didn't he? He lost his dear wife. It says there, verse 25, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him. She became a pillar of salt. You know, you can take a worldly person out of the world, but you can't take the world out of a worldly person. And he lost that dear bride of his youth, that dear one that he had stood with and pledged his love for and had at least, as far as we know, at least four daughters with and raised a family. He lost it because he played with sin. He lost his dear wife. I'd hate to lose my wife because I played with sin, Brother Kelly. You know, if God chooses to take my wife or chooses to take me from her, that's God's choice. But imagine if someone, Mr. Jordan, had gotten drunk in the car and behind the wheel and had his wife with him and was in a drunk driving accident and they were killed and they remained. Imagine how horrible you'd feel. I wonder how Lot felt. She looked back and became a pillar of salt. He lost his dear wife. You know, God can chasten us. God can, if we pet sin long enough, it's not just us all the time that God uses. Sometimes He'll take what we love because we play with sin. You say, oh, He's a mean God. No, no, God knows what He's doing. God's not making any mistake. May it just be a warning to us. Let's not play with sin, ladies and gentlemen. Let's stop excusing it. Let's stop renaming it. And just start calling it what it is. Sin. 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 He lost his dear wife. Number 6. So sad. He lost his daughters. In verses 30 through 38, you read the story and thankful we don't have any young people in here tonight, but a terrible story of this plot that's hatched. That Lot and his two daughters, they're living in a cave not far from Sodom and Gomorrah. And the daughters say, let us make our father drink wine that we can have a physical relationship with him. And by the way, that statement right there, somebody brought the wine into the cave. Can you imagine that? After all, I don't know about you, Brother Harmon, but if someone said, hey, there's a fire, get out of the house, I'd grab my kids and grab my wife, and I'd probably try to grab my Bible if I could and get out. He grabbed the wine. He grabbed wine. Somebody did in the Lot household, brought wine into this cave, and sure enough, Lot got drunk, and his firstborn daughter came in unto him, and the next night they made him get drunk again, his secondborn, and two nations that would forever haunt God, the Moabites and the Ammonites, were born out of that incestuous relationship. He lost his daughters. So sad. So sad. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, sin is like a snowball. It starts out, you take a snowball at the top of a hill and you push it down the hill, it starts out real small. But then when it gets to the bottom, it's a lot bigger. And it's got a lot more force and a lot more power. Ladies and gentlemen, God help us to keep short accounts with God for our children's sake. Say amen. I don't want my children to go off and mock God and raise their fist at God and live a life that's contrary to God because of my sins. Now listen, there are prodigals. The prodigal had a good father. Amen. The prodigal had a loving father. And sometimes children, I don't want you to think tonight that I'm judging you, or I wouldn't do that. That's not my place. And maybe you have a child that's away from God, and maybe you lived right and did things right. You keep praying. You keep like the prodigal's father, watching for him to come home. Listen, there are times, ladies and gentlemen, that our children walk away from God because of our sin. And it was because of Lot. He lost his doctrine. He lost his decency. He lost his difference-making ability. He lost his discernment. He lost his dear wife. Lost his daughters. Lastly, and just a summary of the whole story, he lost his dignity, didn't he, Brother Jackson? He lost his dignity. I'm so glad. I remember hearing Brother Clarence Sexton years ago preaching on integrity. And he preached that integrity is your character, who you are. And he made a great statement. He said, no one can take your integrity from you. You have to surrender it voluntarily. You know what? If you're here tonight and you're saved and you know the Lord, and maybe the Lord's speaking to you about some things, listen to me. Have integrity. Have some old-fashioned Christian dignity and say, you know what? I'd rather be like Christ than loving the world. I'd rather try to be more like the Savior than more like the world. But old Lot, it started just simply living by sight. He looked on the well-watered plains of Sodom. God help us to understand that while sin, it's like that yeast, it's like that leaven, it'll start small, but it'll spread quickly. Spread to our family. And you know what? When we play with sin, we've said it so many times, as long as I have breath in these lungs, Brother Holy, I'll keep preaching it. Sin is a losing game. You play with sin, you lose. God help us to put sin out of our lives. Just ask God to show us areas of our lives that need improvement. Father,